Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Tonight, our show, The Trick to Going to Sleep for Those with ADHD. And with us in our virtual studio is the Caroline McGuire. Real quickly, tonight is Tuesday, April the 4th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some quick announcements. The ADHD Professionals Conference is coming up April the 27th through the 30th in Reston, Virginia. This is actually being put on by the ADHD Coaches Organization. It's a spectacular conference. If you are in the area or you have an interest in coaching, this is something you need to check out. To learn more, go to ADHDProfessionalsConference.com. Also, the Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder Conference is in November, from the 9th to the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. I know I'm looking forward to going. It's not too early to start planning that event. You should check it out by going to chadd.org. And with that, I do want to say I would like a big thank you for CHAD, the organization, the largest organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. Tonight's show is being brought to you, and they have a tip that we'd like to run for you real quick. So here we go.
Think twice before you reach for that over-the-counter allergy medication. It may interact with your ADHD medication. Talk with your doctor before starting any new medication, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription. For more information about ADHD, visit helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thank you again, Chad, for being a longtime loyal supporter of Attention Talk Radio. We're thrilled to have you guys by our side. For everybody out there, if you're not a CHAD member, you need to be. There's certainly some great member benefits, but the big reason you need to be a part of that organization and contribute is they speak with a unified voice on Capitol Hill and advocate on behalf of those with ADHD, so you should check it out. Again, go to chadd.org. Okay, so tonight is we're focused on the trick to going to sleep for those with ADHD. This is an insight that I've had fundamentally going a long time and working with those with ADHD. This interview or this conversation I had with Caroline McGuire due to scheduling, unforeseen scheduling purposes, was actually pre-recorded, so we're going to run the tape. So we really hope you find this show useful, insightful, and something that you can think about and implement. So with that, we'll roll the tape. So we're here with Caroline McGuire, who's a certified personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. She's got a revolutionary coaching program that teaches executive functioning skills to children, teenagers, and young adults. She's a speaker worldwide. Used to work with Dr. Hollowell in his Sudbury, Massachusetts clinic, and has a great website at anycoaching.com. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, Caroline, I've been anxious to do the show because it's over the years we've done some shows around sleep, and I've read a lot of stuff around sleep, and it's common for those with ADHD to struggle with sleep. And when I read out there the solutions, I find them to be interesting because they'll do a lot of emphasis on sleep hygiene. And I find that interesting because – and everybody, sleep hygiene is like – no blue screen or no screen time. So that's TVs, iPads, cell phones, stuff like that. You're supposed to turn down the lights, no caffeine. You don't eat a lot before you go to bed. And I find this fascinating, Caroline, because in order to implement all that stuff requires self-regulation, which is the very problem those with ADHD have. So it just cracks me up. It's like, duh, if they could do that, they would have done it by now. So we're just kind of throwing gasoline on that fire. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think I've never really thought of it that way, but it's absolutely true. I also, you know, I always say this, so I hate to become that person who says the same thing. But one of the things I find working with young adults and children is that often parents say, oh, sleep hygiene is such a problem. And it is. But if you ask your child or teen if they think it's a problem, and they don't think it's a problem, then you can cut out all the articles you want and tell them to take melatonin and develop these rituals, but they don't think it's a problem. So I think it all does come down to, you know, a bunch of self-regulation issues, and then, you know, whether or not you really see the sleep pattern that you have as something that is not beneficial to you.
Interesting. I like that. From a kid's perspective, if the kids don't believe it, you're fighting uphill. And that's a very profound statement and so true.
Yeah.
I think it also goes for adults too. I mean, they can read that and intellectually it makes some sense, but they don't own it. And it's interesting because if you're reading it, it makes all the sense in the world, but it doesn't happen. And so anyway, I think sleep hygiene is worthwhile, but I think it's a little bit challenging because if those with ADHD could do it, they would have done it by now. And, you know, Caroline, people will talk a lot about how, you know, they get on the internet and they're, you know, before they know it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And the one strategy that I've learned that works other than exercise, because exercise is great for those with ADHD, particularly for sleep, is the one solution that works all the time is where the ADD person just goes 100 miles an hour until they're totally exhausted. And then when they go to bed, they instantly fall asleep, or they actually fall asleep in their chair. Have you ever heard exhaustion not to work?
I've never heard exhaustion not to work. And I will fully admit, as a parent, I was just literally today brainstorming with a girlfriend of mine who also has an ADHD child, where we were saying that, you know, my daughter's a swimmer and swim is ending until July, June, July. And, there's nothing for a couple months. And what I rely on for sleep for her is partly that her physical exhaustion is so profound from the workouts she gets that she just like passes out. And I think exhaustion really does work. I also think there's just tremendous benefits to exercise and being robust, and especially for us, for our brains. But I also know that you might be in a situation where you can't get that level of physical exhaustion. And for a lot of us, you're talking about a tremendous amount of exercise to generate that physical reaction.
Yep. So exactly right. That's it. But also exhaustion goes to the other side, staying up to 5 o'clock in the morning where you are so sleep deprived, you have nothing else to do except for fall asleep. That's also a flawless recipe too. I mean, bottom line is everybody with ADHD sleeps, but they go and they hit a wall, whether it's physical exhaustion or just mental exhaustion, and it works almost flawlessly. And I think that those with ADHD implement that all the time. And the key that I want to emphasize on that is when they're exhausted and they lay down and their head hits the pillow, it's a matter of seconds before they actually fall asleep. It's a quick process. Make sense?
Makes total sense, except for the fact that you can't do that all the time.
Well, it is. But the reason that I wanted to have this show is I wanted to talk about an area here that I think is really, really kind of is very much ignored and has become really clear to me. And that is, we've done a couple shows on boredom. I've actually written some papers and stuff on it. It's fascinating because there's different kinds of boredom, but those with ADHD are prone to what's called agitated boredom. It's the need for external stimulation. And there's an amazing definition of it. It's the physical discomfort where a person is motivated to escape the plight. Or as I like to say, is you're physically uncomfortable being bored, and they're motivated to get comfortable. So imagine you lay down in bed and it's time to go to sleep. I would argue some of the most boring time of the day is when you put your head on the pillow until you actually fall asleep. And as a result, because of the boredom, they leap up and they're off to go do something else because they just can't be bored.
I think that's an interesting philosophy. I mean, I think that can be kind of true. Or they're not paused to pay attention to what they need to pay attention to, and what they need to pay attention to is their body signals. But with the agitated boredom, you know, it does make you sort of jitter. It's a physical manifestation to the boredom. And I experience it. I think a lot of people, you know, my example is if I'm in a boring meeting and I have a ton to do, and I'm a worrier, a ruminator, and I'm trapped in this meeting, unable to do the things I need to do, my agitated boredom becomes almost intolerable. And I think there's just all this stuff that happens when you're trying to go to sleep that can be really boring.
It very much is. And I really want to dive into that topic. But before we do that, let's go to a break real quick. You can learn more about Caroline McGuire at necoaching.com. That stands for New England coaching.com. And if you want to learn more about me, go to digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're trying to tackle the trick to going to sleep. And I like insights. I like tricks. I like to pay attention to what nobody else really kind of pays attention to. And before the break, we were kind of talking about nobody really pays attention to. In order to implement sleep hygiene requires self-regulation, which is a problem with those with ADHD. Which is why they don't implement it. We also talked about that. I think the ubiquitous strategy for those with ADHD is they go to bed when they're totally exhausted, whether it's physical exhaustion or mental exhaustion, and that's not necessarily good. But the middle of this that I've had some success coaching some people is actually to acknowledge is that when you lay down and before you go to sleep is the most boring time of the day. And that's the challenge for those with ADHD. So how do you go from something really stimulating to really boring? And one of the things, Caroline, is we know you shouldn't be on screens, but what's the trick? What do you do? And I have found if you focus on the individual and try to help them search for something that engages their brain, but is somewhat mindless, that by doing that activity, we're not just saying don't get on the screen. We're actually saying there's something for you to do that's engaging. And believe it or not, one of the things that I found very successful is for adults to use an adult coloring book where they're just sitting there with some pencils and they're kind of coloring. And they're doing this picture, and it kind of captures their mind and calms their brain down to the point they can go to sleep. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Caroline?
I have, and I actually – I'm not a user of adult coloring books, but I actually know a lot of people because it's actually sort of an engagement in a mindfulness exercise. The other thing is audiobooks. I use audiobooks to fall asleep, and I use sort of like the old, if they were real books, they'd be dog-eared. And I actually find that by paying attention to a few select words, you're really engaging in mindfulness. You're focusing in, and it allows you to go to sleep. And I think that whether you use adult coloring books or audiobooks or whatever else, the issue really is that sort of calming, mindless way to bring yourself towards sleep.
Yeah, so let's say it's a transition period where you're moving from the day where you've got a lot going on, you're a lot thinking, and that's one of the problems is is if you lay down on the bed and you're bored and you jump up and all of a sudden you're watching something and you're engaged in it, then your mind's racing and it's having too much fun. It's interesting. I've coached a dentist one time who actually, I mean, he's like 50 years old. He used to do calculus problems before he was going to bed. Or another woman would read macroeconomic books. They're learning. They were so interesting. I'm like, how are you going to calm your brain down? Because you're so excited about that. You can't necessarily go to sleep. These things that I'm talking about are things that are as individual as you are. Again, there's a level of engagement. There's something about it that draws your attention, but they're not so engaging where you solve a problem and they actually help you kind of calm down. So listening to an audiobook, a coloring book. Another one that I found a few individuals work with is actually playing solitaire. Not on a computer game, but the physical cards where you deal the cards out and you play it. Of course, you're trying to win. Of course, each one of these, what's interesting is if they don't win, they cheat in order to end up winning. And they do that because it's engaged. Again, for these people, it gives them something to pay attention to, but it's not too interesting, but it's not too boring. And their mind kind of calms down a little bit. It quiets down. And then when it's time to lay down, we're not dealing with a long period of time of boredom. It's a little bit more manageable. Other things that I've worked with people that would work is actually for some knitting. I've actually got a few people that knit. They don't knit anything for like a sweater or a blanket, but just that action of knitting is they kind of picked it up and it's this, you've got to pay attention to it enough to engage your mind, but not enough to solve a problem. And again, that can be there. Another one is word searches. I wouldn't do crossword puzzles because sometimes you're thinking too much. Of course, for some people that would work. But word searches where you're just kind of aimlessly looking around, kind of methodically kind of going through some type of thing. Again, the focus here is to pay attention to what you're paying attention to and move, transition from something really, really engaging to something to occupy your mind for it to calm down in order for you to transition to sleep. Because what we're doing is we're inserting this thing so we don't go from something exciting to boredom and then bounce back because it's too boring.
And I think there's another piece about this, Jeff, that goes back to your self-regulation comment, which is that if you think about our grandparents, right, who lived much, much saner lives than we do, if you think about how the non-ADHD ones, they had rituals around bedtime and they had this transition period. They got in bed, they read a book, they had the warm milk, whatever it was. I think the advice is always have this transition period. Don't get into bed at 11 if you want to be asleep at 11. But for us, we don't self-regulate to make sure we're in bed in time for this transition. And I think to your point about boredom, it's partly because it isn't stimulating or pleasant enough or enticing enough. And maybe if you try something that is more, I think enticing is the right word, like an adult coloring book, it might help you with the self-regulation piece.
So I think that what I'm coaching people, Caroline, in this particular space, it's funny because we're looking for a sweet spot. It's kind of like driving down the road, as I say. If you go far to the right, that's boredom. It's not engaging enough. And if you go too far to the left, it's too engaging and you can't necessarily fall asleep. And the trick really to this is to find that thing that captures enough of your attention where it's not overly engaging but not boring to kind of transition. And I think that's as individual as a person. I just gave a whole bunch of examples of those, of things that have worked for some other people, because I think that's really the trick. But what I hope people are getting from today is you got to have some type of strategy for the middle road between something being engaging, like solving calculus problems, and the boredom in order to transition. Makes sense, huh?
It makes total sense. It actually really does. And, a lot of the kids I work with, can't fall asleep because of something like Minecraft or something that they're trying to do, or they're playing with their phones. And I think, my criteria would become, after this discussion, what's something that's soothing but doesn't make you want to jump out of bed and seek other stimuli with boredom? And that
Absolutely.
Is very individual, and I think that's another piece that they don't always say. I think when you hear people talk about sleep and ADHD, people are trying to fit themselves into someone else's best solution, and it may be a very individualized solution.
Yep, and that's definitely what I'm finding out there. So let's go to break real quick. We'll come back and carry on. Again, to learn more about Caroline, go to necoaching.com. That stands for newenglandcoaching.com. And for me, digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back here. We're at Caroline McGuire, and we're talking about the trick to going to sleep. A lot of things that we see or I've seen over the years in coaching and talk to experts that I think few really talk about that I think are the epicenter of it. We've talked about what works all the way. That's exhaustion. And we've talked about boredom. And I think there's a role in here. I think those with ADHD don't like to be bored, and they jump on something stimulating, and they're up all night. And we talked about the notion of maybe the mindfulness of using some type of activity that engages your brain to help it kind of calm down. Caroline, there's one other area that I think is particularly a big deal for adults and maybe some teens, and that is pressure. I can't tell you how many people who I coached, it's interesting because at night when everything's kind of quiet and calm and there's no distractions, they actually can get some things done. And often I find that they're up very, very late doing things to take the pressure off so that when they wake up the next morning and they go in, they don't feel like they're kind of behind the eight ball. And when they're concerned about pressure and they're hearing about sleep hygiene and all this other stuff, they're not really realizing the epicenter is they're just trying to get everything done so they can wake up and live to fight another day. And if they don't acknowledge that they're doing things to relieve the pressure the next thing, they're not paying attention to really what's keeping them up. And if they have something constantly every night, they should say, how can I take the pressure off? Because if you don't have the pressure to get all that stuff done, then you can actually go to sleep. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's very, very true. Over the years, I've worked with a number of people who had the habit, whether it was that they stay at the office till all hours or they stay up in their own homes. And it's often about the fact that, you know, they can't focus during the day. They can't focus in sort of work hours and then they're up. I think there is a degree to which it's not a terrible idea, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. Because they're so tired, and then you get like a second wind.
Yep.
So I think the real issue is that there's so much that has to do with paying attention to your focus and paying attention to what you behaviorally do as a result.
And so just kind of capitalizing on that in a different way is if you're having a hard time sleeping, okay, and you're listening to all that stuff they're talking about sleep, but at the end of the day, you feel all this pressure that you can get things done at night. It's very productive for you, and you're rewarded for it, because if you get it done and you wake up the next day and it's not coming at you, there's this positive reinforcement that the later you stay up, the more you get done, the more relaxed you can start your day. But as time goes on, you get sleep deprived and kind of creates a problem. My point is, if you don't focus on the pressure and address it and acknowledge it, you're really not going to own that other stuff. You're going to spin around in circles because the epicenter of the problem is you just trying to relieve the pressure so that you can function the next day. And I know many of those with ADHD are very susceptible to pressure. It really rules their life. And really, the point that I wanted to bring up in this space is I think a lot more of you out there that are listening to this are staying up at night and you're doing things to take the pressure off of yourself. And all these other things that you'll do that they're reading about, they'll just go right through their head, because at the end of the day, you have to acknowledge, I'm doing this to take the pressure off. What can I do to make it easier? Make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm so thrilled that there's so much information out there nowadays. There's still not enough, but to seek out what can you do to focus so that you don't have to be in this vicious cycle, because you know, working at night is a sort of stereotypical ADHD thing to do. But I do think it is driven by pressure, or you're finally in the right place to focus.
You know, it's funny, because I'm glad you said that, because it triggers. I was coaching this woman one time who brought work home with her every night, and the kids would be there and she would have the work with her. And she actually acknowledged that it was bringing the work home with her. She always thought she was going to get it done, and she'd sit down to do it, but she was so tired, she was ineffective with it, and she felt compelled to do the work to take the pressure off, but she never actually did it. So it really was just keeping her up. Whereas the moment that she acknowledged, I'm not going to do it, left it at work, she came home, she couldn't do the work, she actually went to sleep, she got better sleep, she got up, it manifested in a more positive way. And to acknowledge that and witness that, again, that might be something subtle that's kind of keeping you up. So as we wrap this, anything else that we need to bring up before we close this out?
No, I think that that was a really good point. And I think that, you know, sometimes we're ineffective and we mean to be effective. And so if after 20 minutes, even one of these suggestions isn't working, you know, think and shift, what else can you do, and pay it, and maybe try to pay attention to the body signals. And I do find that a lot of my clients really benefit from this transition ritual.
And we're doing this show. I don't think you're hearing a lot of people talk about it, but again, that boredom between when you put your head on the pillow and you go to sleep, I think that's a real reason for a lot of challenges. And the idea is, what are you going to do to bring yourself down? Because you don't want to go to something interesting to that, because you'll be right back up. We need some type of strategy for transition. So we hope that we've given you cause to think. So, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, go check Caroline out at necoaching.com, and you can learn about more about me at digaholecoaching.com. And with that, we hope you'll catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.